Pastor alluded to this, but it was exciting to see the excitement in the building today with the first day of school. The goal will be to keep that excitement throughout the whole school year. That will be the goal. Jonathan, the last few days, has been saying, can we just start today? You know, can we just start school today? It reminds me, a couple years ago, there was, on the first day of a school year, Timmy's mom ran into his room and said, Timmy, you got to get up. It's the first day of school. You got to get ready. You got to be there on time. She went out of the room, and little times went by, and she again went in there and realized that he hadn't gotten up. And she said, with a little more urgency, she said, Timmy, you have to get up. It's the first day of school. You got to get there. You got to get dressed. You got to be on time. And Timmy kind of sleepishly and kind of a little frustrated said, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go there today. I don't want to go. The teachers don't like me. The students don't like me. The kids, they make fun of me. I don't want to go to school. And Timmy's mom said, you have to go. It's the first day. You have to go. You're the principal. I don't think Pastor John has that problem. Ephesians chapter 4 is where, and 5 is where we're going to be in our message here tonight. We'll get to there in just a moment. But the Bible makes it clear that before salvation, a person is spiritually dead. The realm of their life is in the realm of spiritual death. They are lost. They are unregenerate. They are classified as a spiritually dead person. And the Bible makes that very clear. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. A couple verses later in verse 5 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. 1 John 3:4 says, we know that we have 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. So if you're a child of God here tonight, then you were spiritually dead before you came to Christ. And through salvation, you became alive. This is who you were before you came to Christ for salvation. However, the miracle of salvation is that spiritually, we are made alive. We pass from death to life. And if you want to look at that more, you can study later. Romans chapter 5, that's another great passage that deals with that death to life truth that we see here in the Word of God. The question to everyone here is, have you passed from death to life? Can you say you were spiritually dead and now Christ has made you alive? Can you say that? You know, that's a very life-altering thing, death to life. And that should be something that's very crystal clear in our mind, that we pass from death to life. It's a very important thing. It's that matter of salvation and having that matter settled in our life. The new life we have in Christ brings about a new walk that should characterize the life of a believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17 supports this when it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In my message entitled A New Life, A New Walk, I would like to highlight the kind of walk that should characterize a Christian as seen in Ephesians 4 and 5. And there's 5 of those that we're going to see here tonight, 5 walks, ways that we should walk as a Christian. When you pass from death to life, that's a pretty significant thing. And the new life that we have as a Christian will result and ought to result in a new walk in our life. So I want us to see that here in Ephesians 4 and verse 5. We'll point out those verses here in a moment. What does a new walk mean? When the Bible uses this phrase, a walk, what does that mean? We see that term used on a number of occasions. Does it just mean, you know, two friends walking? along somewhere or walking down a path, walking on a hike. When the Bible uses this, especially here in Ephesians 4 and 5, it is used metaphorically referring to conduct or lifestyle. It's speaking of our whole, the whole of our life, the conduct, the lifestyle that we live. You know, how we live, how what we do, what we say, what the priorities in our life are, what we put our time and our money to, tells everyone around us who we are, even without a word spoken. It's a powerful phrase that I've heard before is, our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. You know, your walk, your conduct, your lifestyle sends a message to everyone around us. And Paul strongly urges the Christians at Ephesus how they were to walk. And I trust tonight it'll be an encouragement for God's people to walk how we're supposed to walk, to live the conduct, the lifestyle of our life, to be that which accurately portrays Christ and is a picture of Christ to this world and accurately represents Him. And I trust it'll be a challenge for maybe a Christian tonight that is not living the way they ought, whose conduct or whose lifestyle is not matching up with the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1, we see this first area and way that we are supposed to walk. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Here we see we are to, first of all, walk worthy. Walk worthy. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You can sense Paul's urgency here. He's beseeching, pleading with them to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. You know, the idea there of vocation is the idea of calling. The calling that we have as Christians, we have a new calling in life. The sin in the world is not our master, it's not what we're living for. And we're to walk worthy of the vocation or the calling that we've been called with. Walk worthy is the idea or encompasses the idea of being suitable or equivalent to the calling. We're to walk worthy of the calling. We're to walk suitable of the calling or equivalent to the calling. As one person put it, it's bringing everything into equilibrium, balancing everything out. I still remember as a child, and I think some places might still have these, those scales where you have to move all the different measurements, the different weights, to bring everything into balance. And that's the picture that we see here of walking worthy, is that our life is balanced out. You know, something when it's, you know, you try to build a building and everything's out of square, everything's out of whack, that's not fun to work with. When our life is out of balance, it doesn't work well. And this idea of walking worthy is the idea of bringing our life into balance, balancing the scale. Walking worthy of the calling. Our life ought to match up with who we are living for. The idea is walk in a manner worthy of. You know, tonight, is your life in balance? Does it match up with the calling that we have? You know, is your life worthy of the calling? The way you are living, the way you are walking, your lifestyle, your conduct, does it represent, does it accurately represent and portray that we who has called us? The Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on in verse 2 and 3, and we're not going to dive into this here tonight, but it talks about how this worthy walk is to look with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Don't claim to be a Christian if your life isn't matching up. You know, it's funny. The world knows how a Christian ought to live. The world knows. And when it doesn't match up, they know. And it affects them. And our life is to walk worthy of the vocation, the calling that we have. Our life ought to accurately represent our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to accurately represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, and the truths in the Word of God. So first of all, we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Are you walking worthy tonight? Does your life match up with what you claim to be, a Christian? Does it match? How you deal with customers, how you deal with neighbors, how you deal with your family, how you deal with unsaved acquaintances. Does it match up? Can they look at your life and there's a balance? They see, oh, he claims to be a Christian and his life accurately represents and pictures that. We're to walk worthy. Skipping down to verse 17, we see that a second way in which we are, Paul commands and urges the believers at Ephesus to walk. In verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." We're to walk worthy, we're to walk differently. Ephesians 4:17, it says, "Not as other Gentiles." And that's a kind of an all-encompassing phrase of the world, the Gentile world, the lost, the unbelievers. A believer should experience a change of conduct from what it was previously. You know, it doesn't work to be a Christian and your life just continue on the way it was. No, when we get a new life, it brings, there's this transformation that's taking place of a new walk. Certainly, this walk, this transformation is an ongoing thing. It doesn't all happen at once. God begins that work. But there is a new walk that ought to characterize our life. And Paul is urging the believers to have a walk that is distinctively different from the world. You know, not like something you used to walk in. It's to be different. And, you know, that's okay to be different. You know, a lot of people do things because they say they want to be different. Well, as Christians, if we're going to live for God, our life is going to be different than the world around us and what the people around us are doing. In verses 18 and 19, again, we don't have the time to spend much time on all of this, but it describes the walk of the world without Christ and the walk of true holiness that should characterize the believer. Verse 18, it says, "Having the understanding darkened," speaking of the unsaved, the Gentile walk, the way the Gentiles walked, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." A Christianity that is not different from the world is not a biblical Christianity. True Christianity is going to be a stark contrast to the world around us. You know what? I alluded to this a moment ago, but I've talked to many people that were turned off to Christianity because of so-called Christians not living differently than the world. They were not living in a manner that was equal and it hurt the cause of Christ. Many people that say, "Oh, I'm a Christian," but they live like the world around them. And as Christians, our life, our walk, our lifestyle, our conduct ought to be different than the world. That's by design. That's not to make us feel weird or anything like that. No, it's by design because that's the life that we're living. And that's what God calls us to do. We're different than the world around us. We'll transition to chapter 5 now, and here we'll see the three remaining ways in which a Christian is to walk. They're to walk worthy, they're to walk differently, and in verse 2 of chapter 5, they are to walk in love. It says in verse 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Christ's manner of love is the pattern for us to follow. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." And this characteristic, this walk that should characterize our life of love, a walk in love, or a walk characterized by love, is really just a pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that he has shown to us. And that should flow through us to others. Walking in love is a walk, is to walk in a way that is characterized or evidences love. You know, that ought to be very real in our life. We do things. We go out of our way. We care for people because we genuinely care. We genuinely love. Turn with me over to John chapter 13. And this command to walk in love is what Christ commands his disciples. In John chapter 13, in verse 34. Verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." That pattern there, that imitation of Christ, the love he showed, we are to show to others. We ought to show love in our life, to our family, to fellow believers, to the lost around us, to those in need. We ought to think good of other believers. You know what? Is that true in your life? When you know, is there a Christian when you think of, you think negative thoughts about them? Or maybe a person, you know, that's not walking in love. When you, other believers, other family members, the coworkers, the ones that get on our nerves, we ought to walk in love. We ought to show forth love out of our lives. Certainly that's a very big, large topic, but it ought to be something that's very essential in the life of a church. The existence of a good church ought to be filled with believers walking in love. The hymn we sang tonight, I thought, went really well with these thoughts. And we sang, "Make Me a Blessing." It says, "Out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad." And then verse 2, "Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as 'twas given to you in your deed. Love as the master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper in need. Indeed, unto your mission be true." Our life is to be characterized by walking in love, just like the Lord Jesus showed forth his love. In verse 8, we see this fourth characteristic of how the Christian ought to walk. In verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Do you get the idea that the Apostle Paul and that the God here is very concerned with our life, how we live, our conduct, our lifestyle? You know, everything we do matters. How we do it is important to God. There's nothing that is, you know, out of his concern. No, everything we do in our life is important to God. And as it says here, we're to walk as children of light. Everything about our life. Paul denotes this as a habitual conduct for those who are children of light. It is in the present tense. It's an ongoing characteristic. Walk as children of light. If you're a child of God here tonight, you ought to walk as children of life, of light. The word children is used, which is interesting, which shows a close relationship to the parent. Since God is light, as it says in 1 John 1:5, and believers are the children of God, they are to walk as children of God, or light. A light reflects the glory of God, so should the believers reflect His glory. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. You know, instead of our life being characterized by darkness, it ought to be characterized by light, by righteousness, by the things of God, not by the things of this world or the things of darkness. We are to walk in light. It's a command that's given for us to obey. And as we close here, the fifth one we see is in verse 15 of how we ought to walk. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. Paul here again is urging the believer to watch carefully how they walk. You know, how we live our life ought to be of great concern to us. The things we do, how we handle situations ought to be carefully considered and carefully watched in our life. And Paul here is saying to walk circumspectly, to walk carefully. That word circumspectly is a great word. It gives us a great mental picture of that carefulness that ought to be involved, to carefully watch each step so as not to defile yourself. We're to walk circumspectly. You know, tonight as a Christian, how is your walk? How is your conduct, your lifestyle? Oh, maybe when you come to church, you can put on a good show. You can look really good. But what about at home? What about in the workplace? What about when you get around your friends? How is your walk then? And Paul is, we really see an all-encompassing aspect here. Every aspect of our life is to be done to the glory of God, is to be done in a way that pleases God. How is your walk tonight? Your lifestyle, your conduct? Is there something very definite tonight that the Spirit of God is putting His finger on and saying, that does not match up? Your life is out of balance. You claim to be a Christian, but this doesn't match up. Tonight, we need to bring the balance to our life. We need to balance it out. We need to get rid of those things that are weighing us down, that are not accurately picturing God and the Word of God and the Bible. And we need to follow these commands. We need to apply them. We need to get rid of those things in our life that are causing us to not walk how we ought to walk. And you see this over and over in Paul's writing here in Ephesians, and it's in other places in the Word of God. It's very important to God that our life matches up with how we ought to, with who we claim to be. And really, this is in the context of, in Ephesians 5, in the book of Ephesians, of walking in the Spirit. And that's the theme for the school year, the academy. But all of these, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're under the control of the Spirit of God, these are going to be evident in our life. And so I encourage you tonight as a Christian, if you're a Christian here, don't be ashamed to have a different walk. Don't be ashamed to be different from the world. And maybe there's areas where you've been ashamed, and you don't need to be ashamed because our life is going to be different. That's what it's naturally going to be that way. And maybe there's a Christian here tonight that this is a challenge to because there's something in your life, in your lifestyle, in your conduct that needs to be removed so that you can accurately picture the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we ask tonight that you would work in each of our hearts. Lord, as Christians, we ought to be a light in a dark world. We're called to be a light. We're called to be the salt of the earth. Our lives ought to be impacting and making a difference. Lord, I pray that tonight you would help every Christian to bring their life into balance, to accurately portray, to accurately live a life that represents the Lord Jesus Christ, that represents who we claim to be. Lord, I pray that if in a Christian's life here tonight, there's an area that needs to be dealt with that isn't what it ought to be. Their lifestyle, their conduct in that certain area is not what it ought to be. Lord, may they deal with that. May they rid that out of their life so that they can walk worthy, so that they can walk in a way that matches up. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that this church would be filled with believers that are walking how they ought to be, their life, their conduct, whether it's in church, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the shopping center, wherever it is, it matches. It lines up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, just work this in our hearts. I pray as well, Lord, that our church would be one filled with Christians that walk in love one toward another, that this place, we would care for one another, we would love one another, there wouldn't be anything between any Christian, Lord, and that we would accurately represent you to this lost world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.